Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Okay, so we're continuing our Just 10 series. Remember, Just 10 series is the Ten Commandments. And tonight we're looking at Exodus 20:15, where God tells his people, you shall not steal. In COVID, remember that time, yeah? There was something that happened in COVID to me. I seemed to find this joy in shopping for clothes. I don't know if anyone else felt that. I mean, we couldn't go anywhere. But suddenly I had this thing inside me. I need to buy clothes. I need to buy clothes. And then one day I was scrolling through Instagram and this little kind of pop-up came up and just had this advert for yellow jumpers, beautiful yellow sweatshirts. And it had this scripture written all over it. And it was kind of there in the picture with a pair of lovely light blue denim trousers and some white little pumps. And I thought, oh, that looks really nice. I think I'm going to order that jumper. So I filled in the form online and I paid the £29.99 and the £6 postage. You don't know about that. So that's what I did. And I sent it off and I waited and waited and waited. 4 months later, still waiting. And I decided to do a bit of research. Where was this company, blessings.com? Where were they, you know, hunting for them? Didn't exist. And I suddenly realized that somebody during COVID had just set up this fake website in order to get suckers like me to buy produce. And in fact, what they were doing was they were stealing our money. They were stealing it and getting rich off it. And there was no one I could contact about it because there was no forwarding address. There was absolutely nothing. Theft is a bigger business than we realize. And when we think of theft, we probably think of things like breaking into cars or shoplifting, homes being burgled. There was a recent interview with Dame Sharon White, who's the chairman of Waitrose and John Lewis. And she said that theft from stores has increased to such levels that thieves now go into stores with shopping lists because they are stealing to order. They are stealing in order to fulfill needs of other people. And in the 12 months to March this year, police recorded 339,206 cases of shoplifting. But the British Independent Retailers Association estimated that the true figure was nearer to 8 million, costing shops nearly £1 billion across the year. And yet, despite these huge figures, a lot of studies show that there's even greater theft that takes place by apparently respectable men and women who put in bogus insurance claims, fiddle their business books, and even try to avoid paying taxes. And we note in today's culture, theft has even moved into the virtual world. People steal other people's data so that they can grow rich. You get an email, you click on a link, and before you know it, somebody knows all about you and they use it against you. And so theft costs us. It costs us financially because we have to buy the doorbells with the cameras attached to them, or we have to buy alarms for our houses, special padlocks for our sheds. It costs us because our taxes go up to pay for more policing and supermarkets put up the prices of their goods to cover their losses. And theft robs us of our peace of mind. How many of us feel secure in leaving our front doors open during the day when we go out or leaving our doors unlocked at night, like our grandparents' generation or our great-grandparents' generation probably did? I was once on a train when I was going out with Lucas, and On the way back, as I was heading up to Runcorn train station from London, and as the train came to a stop, it kind of jolted. And as the train jolted, I mean, we all kind of moved, jolted forward, but this lady behind me, she flew into me, kind of really like knocked into my back. And I didn't think anything of it. I just turned around and smiled just to let her know I was okay. And I got off the train and went to the taxi rank to get a taxi home. And as I got into the car and reached for my purse out of my bag, I suddenly realized the zip of my handbag was open and my purse was nowhere to be found. And so at some time in our life, you and I, we have probably experienced stealing. We've experienced theft, or we know someone who's had things taken from them. And so we get what stealing looks like. But how about unintentional stealing? What is unintentional stealing? Borrowing paper from work. Using work time to do online shopping or scrolling through social media. We can steal time by turning up to work late or having a duvet day off work. When really what is happening is we're making excuses, and what we're doing is stealing time from our employers. Have you ever got on a train, got through to the other end, and there was no one there for you to pay on the way? There was no one there the other end to check tickets, and you actually think, oh, that was good. I managed to not pay for my train ticket there. Has the cashier in a supermarket ever given you too much change, and you've known about it, and you've not said anything? We can steal someone's reputation when we gossip about them. And we can hurt the way other people think about that person because we have talked about them. We can steal the good thoughts that others have about a person. And we have an epidemic of stealing in our world simply because we have been deceived and we've turned to possessions for fulfillment than rather to God. And so our attitude to stealing has changed. And if you and I truly want to be followers of Jesus in every area of our life, we have to recognize that unintentional stealing is still stealing. And thankfully, the Bible can help us with this, all right? So Paul, he gives us some great wisdom in Ephesians chapter 4. This is what he says. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 29. He says, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on the new nature created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Verse 28, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. In other words, obeying the commands of Jesus is taking off your old self, your old nature, and putting on your new self. The new self, Paul writes, is created after the likeness of God, full of righteousness, full of holiness that come from truth. But the old nature, Paul writes there, is corrupt because our desires come from deception and lies. It's important to recognize we can't change our old nature just by waking up one day and deciding to use our willpower and turn over a new leaf. We cannot put on the new nature by a work of our flesh. Putting on the new nature of Christ is something that can only take place through the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in our lives. The new nature that we put on is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is the fruit of the Spirit of God in us. And verse 23 there helps us understand how we do that. It says, through a deep renewal of our thoughts and attitudes. You see, if we're going to take off the old nature and put on the new nature, there has to be a 180-degree turn in the direction we do things. You see, when we read Exodus 20:15, it says, you shall not steal. And Ephesians 4:28 says, quit stealing. And if we just stop at that, all that we get is law. All that we get is legalistic living. And we might obey it because there might be a fear inside of us. Well, what will happen if I don't do as I'm told? And some people might feel that if I don't do it, God is going to bring down a punishment on me if I steal. When in fact, the reason God wrote these was not to make us fearful of him, but because he loves us and because he knows what's best for us. And Paul knows from this passage, he knows that when we remove sin from our lives, it's going to create a vacuum. There's a space there. And so he tells us how to fill it. In verse 28 again, he says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. So there are three things we need to do in this verse. Number one, steal no more. Number two, work hard. And number three, give generously. So the first thing, steal no more. Stealing, it's a part of the old nature. It's a part of the old self. And it's the thing in verse 22. It says we need to throw it off. You see, when we steal, what we do is we steal by taking. And we steal by keeping those things that really we should give away. You know, Satan tried to tempt Jesus, didn't he, in the wilderness? And he tried to offer him a way out. Tried to offer him a way out of having to go to the cross. He tried to steal the cross away from Jesus. And Satan, he will do the same with us. He will tempt us. He will tempt us to steal in order to make our lives a little easier. To steal that time. To steal that little bit of something there. In order to make our lives easier. You see, when bosses are unjust with our wages, he'll encourage us maybe to take a longer break because, well, we deserve it. Or maybe we'll help ourselves to something because we're owed it. And why do we do it? Because we've been deceived to think it's okay. We're justified in doing it. But the great news is in verse 28 is that stealing, it can be forgiven. Paul says, if you're a thief, quit stealing instead. And so there, that simple word, instead, Paul reminds us that there is hope and there's forgiveness for those who repent of stealing. So when we repent, we take off that old nature, we turn and we put on the new nature given to us by God. And that passage there of Paul's, it just highlights to us that if we're followers of Jesus, then the fruit of our lives should reflect that new nature we are now walking in Christ. The second thing that Paul writes in verse 28 is, he says, work hard. Now, whether you like it or not in this room tonight, God created work. It is a gift from God. When God created the earth and everything in it, we read in Genesis that God worked for 6 days and he rested on the seventh. And Adam and Eve were placed there to look after the earth, to work it and to tend to the creatures before the fall. So if God created work, how is it that we can get bored and we can get frustrated with it? Since the fall, there has been a shift in what work is. Instead of using it for the benefit of others, what has happened is work has become a thing for self. We work to have more. And we get frustrated because no matter how much we work, we can never seem to have enough to get the things that we want. And there's always more, it seems, that we want. It might be a better car. It might be a bigger house. It might be the latest fashions. It might be the newest gadgets. It might be that expensive holiday. And hard work gets us these things, it can do, yet somehow we're still not satisfied. So once again, Paul helps us with this dilemma. And he says there's only one way to become satisfied and content with all that we have, and that is the third thing, verse 28, give generously. Paul wants you and I to think of our jobs as a means to display God's grace. You see, the goal and purpose of a Christian is not just Exodus 20, 15, stop stealing. The goal and purpose of a Christian is not just to work hard. The goal and purpose of a Christian is to work hard in order that we can give to those in need and reveal the grace of God to our family, to our friends, and to the wider world. And he's called us to be generous in that giving. By the end of his life, King David had wealth beyond measure. He'd built up such a national treasure that he wished to pour lots of his wealth into the building of the temple that would house God. But we read in Chronicles that he went one step further. And he also gave from his own personal treasure of gold and silver, just for the joy of it. The range of what he gave estimates that his gift would be worth today between 200 and 800 billion pounds. And his example was so great to others that it set off a generosity chain amongst the people in Israel. And in the midst of the celebrations of giving, the wealthiest man on earth stood up and said, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything." What kept David, a man with huge amounts of wealth, from being corrupt with it? He simply recognized that everything he owned, everything he saw, everything he had belonged to the God who created it all. And for us, we need to remember that the God who made the world is still alive and he is active today. This is his world, and everything we see belongs to him. And so if we borrow something, if we steal something, if everything belongs to God, who are you and I actually stealing from? From the Bible's perspective, our possessions, they're not ours. They're on temporary loan from God to be used. So if we steal, if we commit fraud, we're not stealing from the system or others. Ultimately, we're stealing from God. And so if we're going to prosper as followers of Jesus, we have to go against what our culture says. We prosper by putting on the new nature of God. and trusting him that he will supply all that we need. And so to fight against the culture of selfishness and stealing, we have to make sure we're wearing the new nature of generosity. And one way to be faithful to God is in our offerings to him. From Cain and Abel, who gave the first part of their harvest to God in worship, to a tithe in the Old Testament, God's people learned how important it was to regularly give a tenth of all they earned to God. By giving a tenth to God, what they were doing was showing their commitment to him and saying, God, I thank you for what you've given to me, and I trust you to supply all that I need. And that giving has continued into the New Testament. But now, because of Jesus, there's a new level. It's not a lawful 10% tithe as previously expected, but it's become a generous amount. Paul reminds the believers in the Corinth church that God loves givers who are cheerfully generous. And you and I, we can be cheerful in our giving to God. Why? Because he first gave to us. He gave his son to die a death that we deserved. His son stepped into our place. Our God could not have been more generous. He gave of his very self to us. And so when you and I, when we sacrificially give back to God, what we're doing is we are imitating him. We are being generous back to a God who gave us everything. We are imitating his nature. If we want to ask ourselves, how much do we really trust God to provide all that we need? Then I would ask us to look at our bank balances. How many of our payments going out show our generosity towards others? And how many of our payments going out are things for ourselves? Being generous with what God has given each of us, being generous with the stuff he's asked us to manage, is an opportunity to show God's grace and simply reflect him to a world that knows nothing of him. And only when we realize that everything we have has been given to us by the one who owns it all, we will know what it is to quit stealing. Let's spend a moment, shall we, just reflecting. Let's just bow our heads. And just ask the Lord this question tonight in your heart. Just say, Lord, am I stealing from you? And if so, will you show it to me? Because sometimes it is unintentional. We don't realize it. Because we've just done it for so long. And if something pops to your mind right now, don't think too deeply about it. But just repent of it. And just determine tonight that as a person, you're going to take off that old nature and put that new nature on. And tonight, it's going to stop. We ask you, Holy Spirit, search my heart. See if there's any wicked way in me. Lord, show me so I can put it right. Lord, we don't want to offend you. Lord, we want to be different to the culture around us that says it's all okay. Nobody noticed. It's their fault. They gave you too much change. Lord, we want to honor you with every area of our lives. And so in this area tonight, help us to honor you, Jesus, I pray. Maybe tonight you need to decide to do a 180-degree turn. and change the direction completely. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.